useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for good work. All the scripture. So then today we are going to start with this beautiful psalm, only 8 verses, and if scripture is there, it's for us to be read, to learn, to obey. Well, that's the hard part, of course, to obey it, isn't it? But that's this. And now here in this psalm is not about religious legalism that will assure God's favor if we tick the boxes. And no, that is not. Here, David is involved in a personal, intimate relationship with God, and in his commitment to God's love, his commitment to God's word is a response to God's love. And this is the beauty of this psalm. Now, there is another life there, the eternal life with our Lord Jesus. That's what we believe. And here as we walk, we need to walk having in mind that we are going to live with him forever. That's what we believe. Amen? That is what we believe. Now, one of the illustrations used for this psalm is that in every country we have different rules. Rules, you know, and it's funny. You just cross and then you go to Europe and then you have to drive on the other side and you look funny because you are on that side and then you have different speed limits and different ways to stop and turn. Now, the law is there. Not many people abide by that, particularly if you always are in a rush, like I am. And then, you know, you need to keep up with those. So it's good to follow those rules in order not to have accidents, in order to prevent having a ticket, which is very painful. Do you feel that pain sometimes when, you know? And so it's the same with God. You see, he has given us this beautiful book, the Bible. So for us, well, he's not going to give us a ticket. But we face the consequences when we don't obey. And that is the idea here. You know, the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts it into practice is what? Is like a wise person, a wise man, a wise woman who built his or her house on the rock. The wind comes. What else? The problems comes. Everything comes. And we stand firm. But the ones who hear the word and we dismiss it, the Lord Jesus, but the one who hears and don't put it into practice is a foolish person who builds his house or her house on sand. The rain comes, the problem comes, the streams rose, and the winds, and their house crash. This evening, we are going to be reflecting on what does the word of God does for us and the blessings that the obedience brings to us. First of all, the word of God keep us pure. The second thing is that the word of God help us to know, to experience God. The Hebrew word is to experience God. And what is it that we are to do? Perhaps like the psalmist, to be resolved to obtain that blessing. So I invite you just to pray. Let us pray before we read these wonderful verses from Psalm 119. Heavenly Father, we just want to hear your voice. We don't want to crash. We don't want to fail. We want to enjoy eternal life with you. So Father, we place into your hands this short time that we are about to spend around your word and around your table. Bless our time together, Lord, because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. The first thing that the psalmist says that the word of God keep us pure and blameless. Verse 1 says, shall we read together verse 1? Bless. The first thing we need to notice here is that the word blessed here is not a verb, it's a noun. It's not an action, it's a state of being. It's something that, you know, that is there. This is what we are. Here, we say that it's not an activity. We are blessed not because we walk in the law of the Lord, not because we follow the Bible, the scripture, but rather we walk in the law of the Lord because we are blessed. This is who we are. This is not about words of liturgy or religion. You are not blessed. Some people say, well, I'm going to get baptized to be blessed. I'm going to become a member of a particular church to be blessed. No, that is not how it works. Jesus, in one occasion, he was asked, oh, your disciples are not washing their hands. Your disciples are eating with these pagans, with the tax collectors. And Jesus says here, you know, in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 to 20, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony. These are what make a man unclean, but eating and unwashed hands does not make him unclean. It's not about what we do. It's about who we are. Good efforts will not allow us to accomplish everything that is here. The law, the Bible, help us to see who we are and how we are to walk. Jesus says, not doing things is going to make you clean. The word here, blameless, literally means complete or having integrity. This is what will happen to those who make the word of God the center of their lives. It's the Apostle Paul is explaining very carefully and very clear. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. And the Apostle Paul start teaching to the church in Galatia and explain about this is we have to dismiss completely the law. And the Apostle Paul says this, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the words of the law. Because by the words of the law, no one will be justified. How does it work? By grace, by faith. Ephesians 2 says, by grace we are saved. And when we really surrender to Him, He, by the Holy Spirit, helps us to accomplish that law. It's by grace. The Lord Jesus came and said, here you are, you can follow everything here. But we need to receive it by faith. Now, the word blessed, that wonderful word blessed, means supremely happy. It's a state, it's not a verb, it means supremely happy. Not just happy, supremely happy. And what happened on that cross, the Lord Jesus, on that beautiful day, He destroyed the problem of humanity, sin. The things I want to do, said the Apostle Paul, I cannot do it. And the things I don't want to do, I do it. How can I do that? Only by the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. So the pure person, the blessed person, are those who find Him and they are able to walk with Him. Now, many people in the world, they don't want to do it. They want to do whatever they want. And it's free will. We can choose to do whatever we want. Some people said it's difficult to obey the word of God. In Titus, we read that the word of God, you know, when we surrender our life to Jesus, when we receive His grace, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. How can that be possible? When I was 18, I joined the Navy. I was in training for 3 years. And when you are young, you feel that you can change the world. Now I'm not sure. And now, you know, it was good to see around and people experience. Maybe young people, you know, you want to experience and you have the strength to experience. And you have the choice. I have the choice to go with the flow. Everyone does it. You do it. Isn't it? We are young. And then you start to get older. Maybe you don't have the same strength. But we become mature. And we start reflecting upon the things that we do. And I used to hear this phrase of my friends, even myself, said, sometimes it's difficult to obey the word of God, to say no. But in this beautiful verse says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. It teaches to say no. But no matter who you are or where you are in life, we can become a lot better, a lot more pure if we, you know, if we just listen to what the word of God says. It's a matter of listening the word. It's a matter of obeying the word. It's a matter of having the will to do that. And then the Bible says you will be blessed, supremely happy. That is what the psalmist is saying here. It's difficult to do it. Somebody put it like this. It is a great deal easy to do what which God gave us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the consequences of not doing it. The verse 1 says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Now, the second point here is that the word of God helps us to know God. The Hebrew word is to experience God. Verse 2, let's read verse 2 together. Blessed. A second beatitude follows and says, blessed are those who keep his testimony and seek the Lord. We seek the Lord. We want to please the Lord. We want to be with him. There are people, they only want to please themselves. There is a lady called Shirley MacLaine. She wrote this, the most pleasurable journey you take in life is through yourself. The only sustaining love is with yourself. I cannot trust even myself. Sometimes I let down people and I let myself down. The major pursuit is knowing God. Those who surrender to God, we are start a journey. And we surrender, something have to happen in my life. Something have to happen in our lives. Because he changes. And the psalmist go in verse 3 says, they do no wrong, but follow his ways. This is not poetry. This is literally what happened when we surrendered. We will do nothing wrong. We will always follow what? His way, not my way. But this is the way in our societies. You know, Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. And some people said, this is my life. Nobody have the right to say anything against me. But the psalmist carries on reflecting. He said, you have laid down precepts that are to be, what? Fully obey. Obedience. Okay? We are going to be supremely happy. Requires obedience. That's what the psalmist said. You have laid down your precepts. You have laid down your law. They have to be fully obeyed. You know, I like verse 5 because verse 5 has a kind of feeling. You know, there is a little hint of regret in the exclamation of the psalmist. He says, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. It's hard. Have you obeyed everything that the Lord asks you to do? That is what we come to do this evening. To remember that He is there to forgive us. When we do wrong, the Bible says we have an advocate there. If any man sins, we have a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. As we come to communion this evening, let's remember what Jesus did for us. Yes, it's hard to follow the law of the Lord, but we can do it in Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to give you two commandments. Two. Love the Lord with all your heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. But I like the way Jesus says later, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Period. Now, how am I going to do it? How are we going to? Do we have to be legalistic? Well, look what the psalmist says. Let's read verse 6. This is a wonderful verse. Let's read it together. How he reflects about when you obey, when we follow. Listen, let's read together. Then, when I consider just the New Testament, because the New Testament speaks about love, all. Then I will not be put to shame. Churches will not be put to shame. Societies will not be put to shame. When I consider all your commandments, oh no, don't preach about that because that's not politically correct. When I consider all your commandments, I will not be put to shame. I will not be put to shame. How we are going to do it? This morning we said that we do it by faith. By faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, the psalmist diligently seek the Lord. He wants to know him. He wants to worship him. You know, he is seeking. I said this morning, when you lose your wallet, have you have that horrible feeling when you lose your wallet? You want to find it. That's the picture. You diligently, you seek your wallet. When you lose your car keys, you want to find your car keys. That's what the psalmist says. When you obey, you seek him. And then he says, the Lord is a rewarder. I may have ambitions in my life that conflict with my faith, but I want to do this or that. The faith that God rewards says, no, those ambitions will not take priority in my life because the most important is my relationship with God. This is what the psalmist is saying. And they said, and you keep on seeking, you keep on trying to learn more. My nature has changed. I don't care about what people says. I want to be with my Lord. And then faith engaged with every department of your life. Do you remember this morning? The three departments of our lives. Engage with our minds. You know, with our minds, we know that the Lord is holy. With our minds, we know that the Lord is there for us. With our minds, we understand grace and kindness. But also, we need to engage with our hearts. With our hearts, we see how much He loves us. With our hearts, we want to respond to His love. And with our will, we just says, I want to change my life. The last point here is verse 7. If I see on the screen, the blameless, you know, the person who wants to find God, resolve to obtain the blessing. I invite you to go to verse 7, if they put it on the screen as well, and verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteousness. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous law. As I learned your righteous laws. We seek. The journey from commitment in prayer is not difficult. We just seek and we learn. Charles Spurgeon says, we must learn to praise so that we may praise, and then when we praise, that is when we have learned. How that happened? Well, we read his words and we reflect on what he says and we apply it. When we learn something, it's because we follow what is supposed for us to learn. You join a new job and then you learn the ropes of the job by doing it. So we read the word, we not only read. Charles Spurgeon says we must learn to praise so that we may praise, and then praise when we have learned. We are going to face a crisis, like I said this morning, a crisis of belief. But when we learn that the Bible says, I'm going to be with you, you praise the Lord, regardless of the circumstances. Maybe you are going through a tough time at the moment. We must learn to praise. How we learn to praise? We have wonderful promises in this book. And the psalmist says in verse 8, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. I will obey. The worship includes a promise that we obey. It's law. As I conclude this evening, I just invite you, before we come to the Lord's table, what does the Word of God does for us? Well, the Word of God brings blessings when we obey. What are the blessings? The Word of God keep us pure. Keep us in the right place so we can face eternity. The Word of God help us to know Him, to experience Him. What is it that we are to do? We should be resolved to obtain His blessing. May the Lord help us to do that. Sometimes we always have regrets for past failures, but we must not dwell on that. Rather, we must resolve to be better in the present and in the future. And it is then that we can worship. Let us hold fast the truth of God, for without it, we are completely, when we hold on to this, we involve our mind, our heart, and our will, we are going to be okay. You know why? Because that's the promise. He says, I will obey your word. Please, Lord, don't forsake me. It means hearing the voice of God, loving Him. We want to be delighted in Him. The psalmist says, I'm going to follow you, Lord, and you will not let me down. May the Lord help us to receive the blessings of obeying. The hymn we are going to sing in a moment says, O Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. That's what the psalmist is saying. I promise to serve you. I promise to obey you. May the Lord help us to enjoy the blessings that obedience brings. Let us spend a moment in silence before the musicians come to lead us to sing these beautiful old hymns. Oh Jesus, I have promised. Maybe that be our promise as we come around the table. Let us bow our heads and praying.